Well, we're continuing in our series where we're talking about how to build a house that is so strong that no matter what things come along in life, that our faith doesn't waver. And it's not something that we can build, but it's really something that God says, I want to build this in you. I want to make you into a spiritual house that's going to withstand all time, all of eternity. And I have a plan and I have a purpose for you, and that's to make you into the image of my Son. And he uses the high points in life, the low points in life. He uses those midpoints in life. He uses all those things to craft us and to make us into his Son. And he's always working. And he says, I got it covered, but you got to trust me. We've talked about the building process, and we've been comparing building a spiritual house of us very similar to building a home. Because we talked about the foundation first, and the foundation is essential. It's not very beautiful, a foundation, if you ever look at it on the house. It takes a lot of work, a lot of excavating, digging down deep until it's solid, and then there's a footing poured, and then there's this big, ugly cement wall. Nobody really wants to look at it and take your guests down there, but it's necessary, and in fact, it's the most important part. And we said that the foundation is Christ and the Word of God. And then we talked about the framing and how the framing makes up the house, and it's a very intricate. You have studs, you have rafters, you have trusses, you have floor joists, you have sheeting, and they're all tied together and they're all anchored to this one foundation being Christ. Now the studs we said that make up us, though, the spiritual house of us, is our relationships is one stud. We talked about the habits that we might be involved in, our time, our money. Those are all things that make up the spiritual house of us. And sometimes a 2x4 in our house gets off. It gets twisted because we put something in there. We use our own discernment. We thought maybe this is how we should handle our relationships with our spouse, or how we should handle this relationship with people at work. And we put that 2x4 in it and we use our discernment or the ways of the world. And all of a sudden that gets twisted and the relationship breaks down. And God says, I want to take that out, and I want to put that 2x4, and I want you to use the discernment of my word, and I want you to do relationships like I'm asking you to do relationships. And all these studs, they have to be discerned through the word of God and understanding his truths. And as we do that, he says, I'm going to make you a house that is true and that is really straight. But it's a difficult process. It's not easy. Just like building a home, it takes a lot of work. And there's going to be naysayers. Just like when you put up a house, and you might block somebody's view of a lake, they don't like it. There are going to be people saying to you, why are you pursuing God? Why are you trying to let him consume you and change your life? And if we looked at Nehemiah, he understood God's purpose for and plan for him. And he was up on a wall to build this wall, to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. And five different times, if you remember, people said, come on down. We want you to come down. We want you to stop your work. And what we said is, we can't stop our work. We got to start going, you know what, I'm not coming down. I'm going to stay up here and I'm going to work. I'm not coming down to worldly standards, culture standards, but I'm going to stay right in the Word of God. I'm not coming down. I don't got time, because God is working in us. He's building something, and nothing is going to stop him from building what he wants to build in you. He says, I want to do this for you. Well, this morning we're going to take a look at the inside of the house, because the inside of the house is the heart of the house. It's what really matters. It's what makes a home feel like it's actually a home. And for us, it's our heart. It's the interior of who we really are. I'm not talking about this the heart, the pounding heart, but the thing that makes up who we really are, the depth of our soul. And God is going to tell us that the heart is important. And you have to guard it, you have to watch it, and you have to keep over it. But the problem is that we're in a culture, though, that we like things to look surface on the outside. And God says, no surface. It has to go much deeper than surface. It goes to the heart. Now, if you've ever bought a home before, or maybe you're a realtor, I'm not slamming on realtors, so don't hear that this morning if you're a realtor. If you've ever bought a house, what do they do? When they drive you up to the house and they say, well, the house might not have any curb appeal. You know, they say that, but the bones of it are good. You know, but then there's other houses that you drive up to and you say, wow, that curb appeal is really, really, really sharp. I like that. In America, we're so fascinated by curb appeal. We're fascinated about the outside stuff. You know, for those of you that have Facebook, Twitter, social media, your curb appeal is your little profile picture. You put a picture of what you think looks best of you, a selfie, for some of them are really awkward selfies, and some of them really frankly aren't that appealing, or the curb appeal doesn't look that great. But if you like the curb appeal, what happens if you're a single person, you might start clicking on that person and then start to stalk them because you want to find out if you want to ask them out or how you can message them. But we're all fascinated with curb appeal. And the problem with God is, he says, it's not about curb appeal. God doesn't care about curb appeal. He cares about what's on the interior of the house. Last week, my wife had a great idea to look at a home. There's a house that she saw that she thought, you know, this house has a lot of potential. It has 4 acres. It sits on the Thornapple River. I'm thinking, I'm game. A river, I can go fishing when I want. So we looked at these pictures, and the curb appeal of it, man, it looked like it had so much potential. And so she set up an appointment with a realtor, and I thought, well, let's go for it, you know, because this is what her thinking was, which I like her thinking, is that we sell our house, get this house, fix this house up, when we're ready to retire, it'll be worth enough that I can buy the cabin on the lake. So that's the process. So I'm thinking, yeah, that sounds good. Even though it'd be some work, I'm okay with it. Well, we pull up to the house, and there's a realtor, and the curb appeal was sharp. They opened up the door, and right into the kitchen, which was really weird. And this kitchen, I can't even describe how small it was. It was probably half the size of the kitchen up in our fellowship hall. And, you know, the guy was trying to, you know, do some salesman stuff on us. And I'm looking at the floor. The floor's not even pieced together properly. There's big gaps in it. There's not plumbing underneath the sink. And he's like, you know, going, he says, well, it's got granite countertops. And, of course, me, kind of the smart aleck I am, said, well, those are granite tiles that go on a floor. And it's just like, you know, that's not really a granite countertop that you would actually look as granite. And then I found out there's no plumbing for a refrigerator. And then he said something about the stainless steel backing. And I'm like, it was horrible. It just was, I can't explain how bad it was. There were newer cupboards, but somebody painted the outside of the sides of them too. So it just looked really weird. And it had the smell in there that was just so overwhelming. I mean, it was just like, wow, that's bad. So we start walking through the house, and we're thinking, okay, well, maybe we can kind of do some remodeling and rip out this wall, do this and do that. And as we're going along, my words were, that's interesting. That's interesting. And the realtor's like going, you got any more words? And he's kind of saying, well, that's a good word choice. And he's trying to sell us on the house, obviously. And then he finally walked away because, you know, I'm going, okay, you got electrical problems right here. You got plumbing problems here. And he's like going, okay, I don't like this guy. You could tell he didn't like me because I was kind of saying what I'm seeing. And we go in up to this upper room, and he says, oh, this was just recently added. Well, we had a picture of the house. It wasn't recently added. It was remodeled, and the floors sloped really bad, which means that floor was sinking. We went out side, and I'm like going, oh, this is a structural defect, so not so good there. Then we go through the house, and we go to the upper story, which it was a ranch home that they added a story and a half above it. But the story and a half above it was just framed in. It was not finished at all. And I'm walking through it, and this guy's like saying it's permitted, you know, and I'm looking at the work. There's no headers above windows. The dormers aren't framed properly. They're not tied into any of the main support structures. The electrical, he's talking about how new the electrical is. Yeah, it was a new panel, but it was wired through the front of the panel with no cover. And there's wire randomly flowing all over the place. And I'm like going, not so much permitted. And, you know, we kind of walked through it, and I'm going, okay. And then we went down, and we went to the bathroom. And if you picture sky bluish, baby bluish glass tile, I can't explain it. And the sink was cracked, but the toilet was really strange. You had a countertop like this, as you picture, going this way. The toilet sat this way. So if you were going to use the toilet, you'd have to step over the toilet with a countertop like right here. There's no tub. There's not even a drain. There's no plumbing supply lines at all. And so we're at this point, we're going, oh, this is crazy. And then we got down to the garage, and then all of a sudden there's formaldehyde insulation, which is very toxic. Needs a new furnace, needs a new hot water heater, termites. And, you know, and we're going through it, and we're going, and, well, there's nothing redeeming about that house. I mean, the only thing that you could actually do is take a stick of dynamite and do the remodel. I'm serious. That's seriously. And as I was thinking about the scriptures that we're looking at this morning, and if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Proverbs. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 4. This is what God is trying to say through the scriptures. He's trying to tell us that the inside of us is what matters. Our hearts are above all things matter, and we cannot let the things of this world penetrate this heart. Because what comes out of the heart, it's going to tell us, is who you really are. Like that home, there was nothing in that house that had anything worth saving. Sometimes in our hearts, there's stuff that has to be removed. But God doesn't look at us and say, you're not worth saving. He says, you're worth it. You're worth the effort. You're worth doing the remodeling. But he says, I want your heart, though. Solomon begins to write to this, and as he says these words, he says, my son, this is verse 20 of chapter 4, my son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. God says, this is important. The curb appeal doesn't matter. What you look like, what you dress like, the makeup that you put on, the adornments that you have, does not matter to him. He says the heart is what really matters, because a heart that is connected with God, a heart that is submitted to God, a heart that is taking God's word and actively living it out, not just saying it with the mouth, but living it out, is a heart that is welling up and life is coming out of it. Just like a house, when you go to design a house, you start with the interior of the house. You might not have known that. But because you start with the interior, because you want to know how big you want the bedroom, where do we want the master bathroom? Where do we want another bathroom? Where do we want this bedroom? Where do we want the living space to be? Where do we want the great room? And how big do we want the great room? Do we want a fireplace? And do we want a kitchen this size? You have to lay out the interior. And the interior of the house actually defines what the outside of the house is end up going to shape and look like. And that's what God is talking about in our hearts. He says, what is in here is going to shape what you look like on the outside. And he says, I want you to take it seriously, he says. I want it so seriously that you guard it. I remember being in youth group trying to tell these young ladies to guard their hearts. Because they would fall in love with boy after boy after boy, and they would give their hearts, and they would say, I love him, or I'm his. And I was, then all of a sudden I started seeing that the boys are doing the same thing, and the boys are going, I'm giving my heart to them. They're mine. Well, guess what? You're not guarding your heart. God says, guard it. Don't move ahead of his plans. And if there's anything that's not in his plans, don't put it in the heart. He says, guard it. It takes work. It's effort. And it takes a plan. And God says, I have a plan for you. And trust me, it's a good plan. I want to make you into the image of my son. And when he does that, it's a painful process sometimes for us. Because the old us has to die. And we have to let the new life that Christ wants to give penetrate and flow out from the inside. If you turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6 with me, Jesus also talks about the heart, and you'd be amazed at how the Bible talks about the heart over and over. Jesus is given a parable, and he's speaking to a group of people, and he's talking about this building a spiritual house. And maybe you didn't know that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a spiritual house of God. You are a temple of the living God. He's taking up residence inside of you, and he's building something in you. And he's the master builder, the architect that's doing it. And Jesus speaks to these moments saying that the heart, this is the problem. And he kind of uses it as a parable where he's talking about bad trees and good trees. And this is in Luke chapter 6, verses 43. He says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. What is he saying? He's simply saying, the curb appeal. He's saying that the curb appeal eventually will wear off. Eventually people will see through who you really are. If there's bad on the inside, bad fruit's going to be produced, and you can't hide it. Maybe I could explain it this way. If you ever can remember your dating years, some of you. For me, it's 25 years ago. I guess we're still dating, but when I was actually looking for a spouse, it's like you kind of look at the curb appeal, don't you? Maybe I'm shallow. Maybe you guys aren't. Okay. I mean, I'll be honest. If I wasn't attracted to somebody, I wasn't going to go out with them. I don't think I'm much different than anybody else. So the curb appeal looked good. So then I'd say, hey, let's go out. And I remember this one girl way back when. I thought she was really cute, really nice and bubbly. And then we sat down for the dinner. And all I can tell you is I have no clue what happened, except for the character reveal happened. The curb appeal all of a sudden was like gone, and I saw the heart of the person, and I couldn't wait to get out of there. I mean, I was thinking, can I go to the bathroom? Can I just leave? Do I leave her taxi money? And then she can just find a taxi to get home. How do I get out of this? And that's before cell phones were around, okay? So I was stuck. You see, for some of us, we're good at keeping the curb appeal for years. But eventually, the curb appeal will wear off, and people will see what's really here. And that's what Jesus is talking about. And then he goes on to explain it a little bit more in 44. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. In other words, our mouth dictates what's inside here. The way that you handle your relationship with your spouse, if you have harsh words and not kind and loving words, shows what's inside of your heart. The way that you treat other people in the world, if you don't show them love, respect, and compassion and mercy, it shows what's in your heart. And that flows out. The evil desires of the heart are always going to flow out, and they're going to be revealed. Whatever comes out of the mouth is kind of defining who you are, your future, and what you're like. And this is why God says it's so important that we, above all else, guard what's here. Because out of here comes the wellspring of life. And Jesus, in this moment, you can tell he's just passionately trying to get people to understand. You have to evaluate this. Let me just ask you, what comes out of your mouth? What comes out of your lifestyle? What comes out of the way that you treat your spouse? That's who you really are. It's like the character reveal. And Jesus says, I want to reveal that. And then Jesus goes on, and it's kind of interesting. He stacks this parable on with another section in Luke 6:46. And he says, why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say? In other words, he says, there's a problem. If you really don't believe in me, you're going to live your life however you want, and you're going to make sure that the curb appeal is good. But if you say that I'm your Lord, you're going to act out, you're going to obey, you're going to start to become more and more like me. Your heart is going to be pure. Your heart is going to be more like my son, and that's going to be what's on display. He says, so if you're saying, Lord, Lord, and I don't know you, or you're living a different lifestyle than you know you're supposed to live, he says, you don't really know me. And then he goes on in verse 47, I will show you what he is like, who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. This is somebody who says, I believe the word of God is true, and that's going to be my heart. Above all else, that's going to be my model. That's what I'm going to focus on. And he says, this is what happens when somebody practices that. He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And the rock is Christ. When a flood came, the torrent struck at that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. It's interesting how Jesus puts those two sections of Scripture together. A person with a bad heart produces bad fruit. A person who speaks evil has evil in their heart. A person who is living out the Word of God and taking the Word of God and basing their life and their foundation is the Word of God, they are people who are speaking truth. They are people who are grounded in the foundation. And when the torrents of life, when the storms of life come, they're not going to be swayed. Right now in our culture, can I just say this openly? We are being swayed as Christians. We are accepting things that the Word of God says are wrong. And God says, you can't do that because you're not guarding your heart. You're not making my word your heart. Do we condemn people? Do we shout at people? Do we yell at people? Do we judge people? No. We show them mercy. We show them grace. We show them love. But we make sure that we are standing true in the foundation of Christ, His word. And we don't waver from it. We don't apologize for it. But we show love. We show tenderness. And he says, if you do that, you're going to withstand the test of time. And your heart is going to be pure. In Mark, Jesus said it this way in Mark chapter 7, verses 14. He says, Jesus called to the crowd to him and said, listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. In verse 17, after he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about the parable. And I love how Jesus just says this. Are you so dull? Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body. And he went on and he says, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of a man's heart, comes evil thoughts. So what's within here, Jesus keeps saying over and over, what's in here is going to determine the spiritual house of you and what it looks like. Is it a house that is going to be pleasing? Is it a house that is going to represent God, or is it a house that's going to have this curb appeal that once somebody gets to know you, all of a sudden they really see the true heart of you? Are they going to see a heart that's like Christ or a heart that's more like the world? And God says, I want to change that. I want to give you a new heart. I want to take a heart that's of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. I want to do that. And he says, I want my believers to have that kind of a heart. That's why he says a wellspring of life flows out of it. But it's a choice for you and I. It's a choice to deny ourselves. It's a choice to walk in his ways. It's a choice to stand out in a world that says Christianity is old-fashioned. It's a choice. But it's a rewarding choice because you will have a spiritual house that has great reward and will endure through all time. So that's my promise. I'll give eternal life to those who bring it into their heart. And then he goes on. He says, from within, out of a man's heart comes thoughts like sexual immorality. So can we just be honest? Sexual immorality right now in America, we are so confused on sexuality. You have from same sex to having sex outside of marriage to having crazy things that I can't even speak of on Sunday morning because of the ears that are here. Can we just understand that when God talks about sexual immorality, he's talking about anytime we distort this beautiful gift that he has given, which is sex, to be within the bonds of marriage. Anytime we distort it, and anytime we twist it, that's sexual immorality. And you know where it's coming from? The hearts. Somebody watched a video, maybe. You opened a magazine that you shouldn't have looked at. And seeds got planted in here. And those seeds took up root, and you didn't guard your heart. Or you listen to what our culture is saying, you listen to what other students, I know high school students, I know this is hard, because those other students are having sex outside of marriage, and they're talking about it like it's something that it's just, well, why not? It's no big deal. Can I just tell you, God says protect that area, guard it. Because you know what happens? You bond yourself emotionally with every person that you join with. That's why so many young people are so messed up. That's why so many adults are messed up. God says, I want you to be pure. Look at sexuality. It's a gift. It's beautiful. Within the bounds of what I have created, God says. Make sure we filter it through that, not through culture. And then he goes on. It goes, sexual immorality, theft, and murder. You know, we think that murder comes from the mind. You know, what happened in Dallas with those police officers and all the murders that we've been seeing on TV is horrible. It's not coming from the mind. It's coming from the hearts. There's something that happened inside of the people. Let something into their heart that was toxic, whether it's venomous or whether it was they want to get even or they're bitter, they're angry. They let it take root, and then it comes out. Out of the heart comes murder, it says, and slander, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. All these things, these evils, come from inside and make a man unclean. And Jesus says, it's what's inside that matters. And Jesus says, I want to move into you, though. And I want to do a remodel. I got a stick of dynamite. It's called the Holy Spirit. He wants to come in and he wants to give you a pure heart. He wants to give you my views. He wants to teach you how to walk in a world that is walking away from God. And you know what he says? He says, with all that junk that's there, he reaches across and he says, I love you just the way you are. I'm tired in the church of hearing people say that they got to clean up their act. You can't clean up your act. It's the Holy Spirit that does it. It's reliance on the Holy Spirit and a desire of the heart to want to walk in his ways. And God blesses that. And he says, I want to do this, but I love you right where you're at. All your baggage, all your past, everything. You don't have to clean it up. I accept you. Come in. I love you. And there's an incredible story that we're going to close with in John chapter 4. Because God looks behind our problems. God sees the real you. And he loves us. And sometimes we don't want to go get below the surface. We just want the curb appeal. But God pours right through the surface and says, let's do the character reveal. Let's talk about spirit. Let's talk about the spiritual house of you. And he does this to this lady at the well. And many of you know this story. If you remember, Jesus is traveling. He's going through this area called Samaria. He's kind of going towards his home in Galilee. And normally Jewish people would walk around Samaria because Samaria was a town that they didn't like. It was a town that was filled with people that were Jewish and half of some other nationality because of when they got invaded, other countries would put people there and they would make them intermarry. And so the Jews looked down on them. But Jesus didn't look down on them. Jesus goes into Samaria by a well, and he talks to a woman. In their culture, a Jewish man would never have talked with a woman alone, out in the middle of the open. They just wouldn't have done it. But Jesus goes, you know, this is not about the curb appeal. I don't care about the ways of man. I care about the hearts. And he looks at this woman and he gets right down to it. And we're going to start in verse 7. And Jesus is thirsty and he says these words. He says, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? And the Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews don't associate with the Samaritans. And she gets down to that surface level going, hey, this is the reality. How can you ask me to even do that? Because you Jewish men don't do this. And Jesus is going, I'm going to bridge a gap. I'm going to step in and I'm going to fill a gap between the surface and the depth. Because he says, I understand you all have a gap. And I'm going to bridge it for each one of you. And he takes us, this lady, on this amazing journey in verse 10. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water, to which I would have said, what? You see, she's not thinking spiritual. She's not thinking about the heart. She's thinking about the surface level stuff. And immediately this lady's like, huh? What are you talking about? And then she takes it back to what she can comprehend and what she can understand and to her level. And so she says, sir, the woman said, You have nothing to draw with the well, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? And she's like, you don't have anything. And this well is Jacob's well. This is a very unique well. It's a well that has living water, which has water that flows underneath it. So it's like a stream, underground stream, which that means that water never gets stagnant. It never gets old. And that's why they would come there. And she's like going, how are you going to give me this living water? And then she says, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds? And Jesus again steps into the gap, and he says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of watering water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I don't get thirsty and I have to keep coming here to draw water. And again, she goes back to the surface. I'm tired. I'm tired of coming back to the well. And Jesus is trying to get down into the heart. So he steps again into the gap and says, let me bridge it for you. Let me show you what I'm really offering you. And look what he says. He says, go call your husband and come back. I mean, he's talking about getting real, isn't he? He's not talking about the surface level stuff. He gets down to the heart. And he says, by the way, go get your husband. And then the lady's like, what? I have no husband, she replied in verse 17. She does what we do. When God wants to get into our heart and reveal what's in here and remove something and try to get rid of something, we lie to him, don't we? We say, I'm good. I got it covered. I can control pornography. I can control the relationships. I can control all these things. I got it. That's what she's saying. If I don't like how God's making me feel, then it's okay to lie to him. So she lies to him, just like we do. And then Jesus said to her, you're right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man that you are now with is not your husband. I mean, talking about getting real. Talking about getting rid of surface and curb appeal. This is what Jesus does. Right now, some of you are thinking, I don't like these scriptures because Jesus knows my heart. Yes, he does. He knows everything that you've done last night, everything you've done this week, everything that you're planning on doing this week. He knows. He knows what's in there. And he gets down to the issue. And the lady says, what you have said is quite true, sir. The woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Well, no kidding, right? No kidding. She can see he's not just a prophet. He's God. He's the Son of the living God in flesh right there. But now he is the Son of the living God who sits at the right hand of the Father, and he knows our hearts. And he wants to heal this lady. He wants to give her something that she has been craving, and that's to be complete. Yeah, you have five husbands. Boy, Tom was a real loser. Benjamin, I'm working on that guy. Fred, boy, I don't know what happened to him. Tom, Bill. And you're living with the other one. Yeah, they've all let you down. But I want to give you something that's better. That will quench your heart's desires. Because no man's ever going to do it. And you're like, going, well, I haven't had five wives or five husbands. We've all had five things, haven't we? Last night you had five too many drinks. You said five too many words that you shouldn't have said to somebody that you love. You have things that you repeat in your life over and over and over. That God is saying, I want you to get rid of them. I want you to let me invade your heart at a level that I can get rid of it. And you'll never thirst for anything else if you surrender your life to me completely. But he says, you got to do something. These are the three words that we'll close with. You have to be honest. You have to be honest with God. She didn't get the living water until she was honest. She had to understand that she had a problem. She had to be willing to let Jesus move in. You have to be honest. You have to be willing to tell people, hey, I got a problem. Telling God, I got this problem and I need you. And then another thing that she did is she was vulnerable. We got to be vulnerable. We got to stop doing the surface level stuff as Christianity. We got to be willing to say to God, here I am. We got to be willing to say to closest friends, this is what is going on inside of my heart and I need it protected. I don't want people to know. They might find out that I've done this thing. Who cares? If God can bring healing to you, if God can restore you and get rid of something that's took root in your heart, be vulnerable. You know, this lady, she was vulnerable. And her town didn't talk about how she had five husbands. Her town started talking about the living water, Jesus Christ, and how he is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what they talked about. And we also have to be willing to be accountable. Accountable to God. Accountable to one another. It's time to be real. God says we have heart issues. And I want to heal your heart today. Will you put it out there for him? Will you let him in? Will you let him do the remodel that he wants to do? So when you begin to speak, not evil comes out, but good. He says, I'm remodeling you. I'm building you into the image of my son, and this is the image of my son. He is full of love, full of mercy, full of compassion, full of grace. He says, this is what I want to make you. And he says, and then we'll change the world. But it starts with a heart. So this morning, maybe you're thinking you got a messed up heart. Maybe you don't think that God would accept you because you got too much stuff. Let me just tell you, God says, I love you. And I'll take your stuff. I already know about it. But will you surrender? Will you accept Christ as your Savior? Is what he's asking. And I'm asking you that this morning. You know, maybe you've been walking away from him for a long time. And you've been living your lifestyle the way that you want. And you haven't been living out his word. Would you surrender your heart to him again? And it's just simply saying, I've sinned. I confess whatever it is. You already know about it, God. Forgive me. And then he says, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to heal that heart that's broke. I'm going to heal that bitterness. I'm going to heal the anger. I'm going to heal these things in your heart. But you got to be honest. You got to be vulnerable. And you got to get some accountability. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and Lord, I thank you that you are so concerned about us, that you love us so much, that you pursue us no matter what course or what path that we walk in this life, that you just never give up, and you say, I want to restore, I want to make you new, I want to take that heart of stone and put a heart of flesh, a heart that is of the living God in you. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God that knows us and loves us in spite of us. God, help us to become the people that you desire. Ones that where the heart is flowing springs of life. God, we give you this church and we would ask that you do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.